Boom! Welcome to Highway Diary, episode 140 with my good friend Kelly Stone. What's going on?
Wow, good. 140. Mm-hmm. That's like 7 times 2 times 10, right?
Wow, you got a master's degree. So let's get into Pussy Challenge 2015. This is a really important campaign that's going on. I'm hitting you with the hard questions first.
You're just like, bam. Yeah, shit. I'm sipping my coffee for the first...
Okay, well, let's just say recently you've become single, and also you told me recently that you're bisexual. And so there, you showed up somewhere with this lady. Let's call her to protect the innocent, as her name is. Sarah or something,
at the comedy club.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, at first I saw her someplace and I was like, hey, can you text that girl for me or something?
Well, you didn't see her someplace. You met her at an event that I was performing at that I brought her with me.
Oh,
she rode with me to that event.
Right.
So the whole thing, like with you trying to like be like claimed.
Yo, this was I thought you were straight as an arrow before this whole scenario, so I didn't even think of that as a possibility.
Well, there you go.
And then I was like, yo, but you know what I mean? And then I was like, yo, can you text her for me? And so then I see her again, and you just tell me that you're bisexual. Then you go on stage, and your whole act is looking at this girl going, yo, why don't you eat this pussy or whatever?
But that's
yo,
just funny.
Why don't you get up in here? And I was like, I can't believe that you're... 24 hours ago, you're like, I'll text her for you.
Well, because you said you liked her.
Boom.
Well, I just, honestly, I think it's really hilarious that you find this, like, competitive or, like, at all. Like, it's funny.
I just had a quick turn of realizations.
You know, there's a paradigm shift sometimes when, like, you don't realize that maybe a woman might be attracted to another woman. And you were kind of like, yo. Mm-hmm. Hook a brother up. And even in your mind, you're like, because I met her. And I'm like, yeah, at the event that I brought her to.
When I met her there, that's you were straight in my head. So I was.
Does that make it different? Does that change the
dynamic? Having a Pussy Challenge 2015. And what it is, we're going after phone numbers. We're going after straight cold snatch. You know what I mean? And we're just going to see what happens.
We're going to buy. Yeah. We're going to see who gets the pussy first. But okay, so then what's the qualifier on that? Does it have to be just like...
Photographs.
What?
Okay, so anyway.
I have a few on my phone.
Unbelievable. It's already over. Pussy Challenge 2015.
I got woken up, like a bitch sent me a naughty picture yesterday, first thing in the morning, and was like, happy Saturday morning.
I know the kind of bitches you hang out with. You were telling me a story about how some lady showed up one day... to a show of yours. She couldn't make the show because she was too drunk in the car which she just drove, and she said,
yes.
Hey, you need to drive me home in my own car.
Well, she just said, you need to drive my van. I don't know where the fuck she lives. I have no clue where she lives.
In the van.
But it was her van, and I needed to get to my vehicle. I'm not going to take myself to Kenner or who fucking knows. She's in a minivan throwing up in it. Like, where... How do I know where she lives?
Yeah, and she was thrown up in a plastic bag.
In the back of her van.
Right, and then she called the cops several times.
Well, okay, should I tell the whole story? Okay, that's why I was like, are you going? I just noticed your scar. I'd like to hear the story.
Oh, yeah, I broke my arm when I was a kid, and my bone came out here, and they put plates in it or something.
Oh, my God. Were you, like, in a tree?
No, I was very close to the ground. It was like a balance beam, like as high as this, and I just fell as bad as possible like this.
Crack. Oh, my God.
And both my bones went like this.
So, how was gymnastics for you after that?
You know, I missed a lot of male cheerleading events.
Well, you were on a balance beam.
Well, it was just in a park.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It wasn't in, like, a gymnasium.
Oh, okay. Sorry that I digressed on that, but holy shit. I've never noticed that scar on you before. And, okay, so, long story short... there's a comedy contest I've been participating in, and this chick frequents that establishment.
Oh.
And so she had been there the week before when I was there with the new ex, who was not the ex at the time. We were together. She was there and saw us both perform. And then the very next week, ex had already like derailed, gone on a crack bender, gotten his parents picked him up, and he moved back home. And then in between the time she'd met me the first time and then very next week, I was single. Mm-hmm. And I had this story of why I'm clearly not really pining. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, she has been on my tip since that day. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, yeah. So anyway, she drives a minivan with the personalized license plate, Dat Girl. If that explains it. And she earned it so much.
I think white trash was taken.
Oh, God. I don't want to say... Yeah, like, instead of the word ask, she says axe. Like, always. So anyway, she pulls up to where I was doing the comedy show, where you and I were hanging out, chatting, and then texted me and said, hey, I'm too drunk to drive. I'm going to need you to drive. And in my mind, I'm thinking, when I walk out there, that she's, like, sitting in her driver's seat, like, listening to music, and she had just, like, been driving and had, like, one of those, whoa, I'm too drunk.
I should not be. Yeah, yeah.
I should not be operating a vehicle. But, no, I get to it, and there's, like, nobody in the driver's seat. I'm like, where is she? And she's like, back here. She's in the back of the van, laying across the seats, like, puking into, like, a grocery bag, like mm-hmm. a plastic grocery bag.
That's just classic road beef, though.
I've never, okay, like, I, this is a 33-year-old woman, by the way, that we're talking about. I never in my adult life have had experiences. The experiences that I've had in New Orleans, period, in my adult life, I've never.
So did you drive her all the way back here, puking into a
van? I drove back to my mansion.
This is your mansion.
We're in my mansion right now.
Right.
Having coffee. I got a Coors Light, a water, and a coffee because it is Sunday. That's mm-hmm. a three-drink day.
Mm-hmm. Upper, downer, even it out.
Yeah. So I drove back to my mansion. But and we have gated parking. Like, there's a clicker, you could get in. But I wasn't in my car. I was in her car, right? But you can also park on the street. It's totally fine, right? Well, so I get out. I'm like, come on, get out of the car. And she's like, no, leave me here. Let me sleep in the van. And I was like, no. I'm not leaving you in a van on the street. Because, okay, yeah, I was like, it's fine to park. But, like, there really are crackheads, like, two blocks away. Which is why the ex-boyfriend easily found crack in his life. There's so many crackheads. So anyway, I'm like,
we might get to that story eventually.
Right. But you're not sleeping in the van, right? So I drag her, like, I get in, like, it's like a, actually it reminded me of, I went out for Austin Police Department one time and I went through all the tests and I had to drag like 180-pound like body. Mm-hmm. And this, she was probably 160 is what I would say, because she's tall. But like, fucking getting her out of the goddamn van.
Yeah, that's so, a hefty piece of road beef.
Well, I get her out of the van, so she's walking, stumbling, la la la, comes straight in, bathroom. She spends the entire night on the bathroom floor, puking, the whole night. Puts a towel over herself as like a blanket, and she really is like, leave me here. And I was like, that's cool. Like, you're safe, right? I was like, my work is done. Like, I didn't think she was gonna die, you know? I'm also a health educator, and I know the signs.
You gave her a coffee, a Coors Light, and a water.
In the morning? No, I'm just kidding. But then in the morning, she did have a cup of water and a bottle of ibuprofen, like, within reach. So I'm nice like that. So the next morning, but I've got to wake up. I get up at, like, 8 o'clock. I've got to clean the mansion, 5 rooms, because realtors are going to be here by noon. And this is way too much for you, like, right now for details. But time-wise, it was like, are you fucking kidding me? And so I had to clean all 5 rooms before noon. The messiest guest, like, shaved all over, skittled all over. Oh my God, maybe they shot like one of those weird foreign Skittles commercials. They right. were German.
Oh. And they were like, I spread the Skittles about the carpet. Where are you to clean after me?
Where it looks like we're like all of a sudden you're jizzing, but it's like Skittle explosion or beard hair explosion. It
clean
was not
my
gross.
Beard hair, one of my Skittle distribution.
I'm scrambling around, I'm cleaning up. It's like 11:15, and she finally stumbles out and is like, I'm going to go. And I was like, bye. I'm like at the top of the stairs, and she's
oh, you didn't even, nothing happened sexually.
She was puking on my bathroom floor. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but that's when you get in there, you know?
No, I mean, if I were a dude, and I know I'm accused of being a dude all the time, but like, I'm like a chick dude. Like, I have respect for like vomiting women not being raped, I guess.
What?
I've had dicks put in me while I've been in a vomity state. Yeah, so, yeah.
Rude.
How are you into that? Anyway, she walks outside and then closes the door. And then the next thing I know, she rings the doorbell. And I come down and I'm like, what did you forget? And then I look and her window is busted. The mm-hmm. car window totally busted. And her purse had been on the passenger seat. like a snatch and grab. So I'm like, great. Realtors are here showing the place in 45 minutes. There's a minivan with a busted out window right in front of the mansion. And the cops are about to be here. You're about to call the police, right? And so then I go back upstairs because I'm still cleaning beard hair and Skittles and stuff. So she calls the police. Then realtors come. Life happens. Everything. Then I still have to do stuff. The police haven't come. It's like 3:15.
Yeah.
I just check in 6 guests, like some from Germany, whatever, all this stuff. And then she's like, I'm going to check on the status of those cops coming to look at my car because she's been here all fucking day, right? And I'm like, okay. And she grabs the landline, like the phone here from the mansion, which I hadn't realized that she'd done before. And then she's like dialing the number. And then she was like, yeah, when I called 911 before, they were all, and I was like, you're calling 911? And she hangs up the phone. And I'm like, you're supposed to call a non-emergency number for things like, and she was like, well, I told them it wasn't an emergency. And I was like,
maybe that's not why they're coming.
Maybe you do shit like that because you are dat girl. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
This is what really complicates Pussy Challenge 2015. You're trying to rack the numbers and clean 5 rooms of a mansion. You know what I mean?
Right. And I have standards, right? Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't want... You know?
Well, not that high of standards, because she did show up, like, you met her before.
I did get pictures, I guess,
based on... You met her before, and you said, hey, come over, and then she showed up.
Right, she's hung out here before. Yeah. Right. Like, the flowers in my room were purchased from her.
Let's talk about your show, Hot Mess.
Okay.
You run a storyteller show with Kyle Smith sometimes.
That's not a storyteller show.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like improvised segments in the middle of it.
He and I, we host it as Hot Messes. And so we banter, like, in between the acts. But it's a showcase show. Like, it's certainly, like, tightly run. Like, they're doing 10-minute sets. And then we also have a variety act that performs. This last one was a faux queen, which is a drag queen, but it's a female-identified individual who also performs as a female drag queen.
Yes, I saw this person. They were born a man?
No. She identifies... Okay, did you see the act? Did you see the act?
I did see the act.
When she stripped down and it said other across her chest?
Yes, so that's my... Was she born a hermaphrodite person?
No.
She was born one biologically.
She was born a woman, biologically. And it's funny that people get so caught up in that because ultimately I think we're saying it doesn't really matter because the parts don't match, right? Whatever they are, they don't match how you feel. So she feels very male, but she often identifies female. But she uses female pronouns. That's why. And so that's a good question. That's like, I'm giving you like a transgender lesson right now.
No, I've met people like this. I just want to know what the boundaries, the genres for my own education. It's not like I'm like, oh, that's weird because of this. I'm like, no. Just what is it?
So it's, other. Other is her identity. It's just that. It's okay. Like, yeah, other. And so that was why the breasts were bound and flat and then other. And it was like, you know, so maybe it's not about the vagina when we're asking the parts, but maybe it's like the fact that I was born with these tits and they define me. Or,
right.
You know, there's these body parts that come with a gender sometimes.
Right.
That, anyway.
Well, you're...
But Hot Mess is an awesome show.
It is. And you also have your master's degree in sex education.
Health education.
Health education.
Yeah. Health education, health promotion. I was in a doctoral program.
I don't think it needs like a push promotion wise. I think like people are on it. It doesn't need an advertisement.
Well, not sex, but health. Like it's easier. It's better to promote wellness than to treat sickness. And so when you're promoting like to quit smoking or not smoke or to, you know, drink water or to do these things, then that's better than dealing with lung cancer or stuff. So you're promoting health and wellness.
Right.
And so it's an educational program. It's way cheaper too to do that. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Than healthcare.
Well, then treatment.
Right.
Healthcare shouldn't only be seen for sick people.
You also you teach a fellatio class. This is what people are interested in. You know, so this is going to get the ratings here. So what do you tell people when you're in wellness? What is this is about how to, you're treating symptoms of a bad marriage before it falls apart. Divorce.
That's not
teaching
true.
Teaching fellatio is less expensive than divorce. Right?
But also, why do married people, why do people that are unhappy have to come to a fellatio class? Why can't you be a freshman in college and right. maybe you're just starting out? And so, like, I'm doing everyone a service. Right. Like, helping it out early, mm-hmm. you know? And so, yeah, sometimes people come in because they're like, I realize that I suck at this. Mm-hmm. Get it?
She's part of one level of the fraternity orientation, so like yeah. she's got a big job ahead of her.
Sometimes, but sometimes they're not very big jobs, even though the guy proclaims he's so big. You know what I'm saying?
So how do you deal with this? What are some tips?
Well, you know, both hands being involved, really, really good. Sometimes people think, you know, just the mouthy or something, like that hands are wrong or... But definitely hands.
Hand promotion.
Well,
you're promoting sturdy hands.
And you're also helping your throat. Because then if you use your hand at the bottom, like you don't have to feel like you have to go as deep if you can't.
Right.
You know? But it also offers that sensation. Lick your hand. Use lubrication. Like, you know, wetness. Wetness. Really good. Mm-hmm. Noise. Sound. Often very good. Unless, you know, the circumstances do not allow it.
Not you're not telling a story, but you're doing positive.
Mm-hmm. Like smacky, lip smacky, maybe some gurgles. You know, some noise, some affirmations that you're doing a job. You know that you're not like also checking your email.
Right, right.
You're engaged.
Engaged in that situation. So what is the thought behind the making a lot of noise? What's that about?
It's creating an audio and visual experience, as well as sensation. Like you're hitting all the senses. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And butt stuff.
Well, that also helps. That is maybe what you use your second hand for.
Right. Anyway, speaking of butt stuff, you were alluding to a little bit, and I met this person, and I think this person's very, very funny and very, very talented, and a good friend of mine as well. But you had a ex-boyfriend situation.
Oh, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, because you were like, speaking of butt stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, go on.
Your ex-boyfriend.
He has a butt? We did butt stuff? How is that connected?
I assume that you're experienced, and I just assume that things take, you know what I mean? Leave you two in a room, things are going to happen.
Anyway, oh.
So he had like a little like...
Episode. Yeah.
With crack or something, I hear.
Well, he has yet to... Yes, he did. He did, went on a crack bender. But he has yet to like receive treatment, like diagnosis or help, like really at all for any of the issues that I think were a precursor to that and or that are all interconnected with it. So, yeah. I guess the best is to just call it an episode.
Yeah, ew. That's tricky.
Yeah.
There's a lot of addiction in New Orleans, you know? It's such a party town.
Oh, my God.
That if you go to Bourbon Street at any time of day,
anytime, 24 hours,
you can get a frozen daiquiri, a hand grenade, you're in a fight with a police horse.
I've been offered cocaine on the street of Bourbon. I mean, from, like, a really sketchy character, which, why would I be like, yes?
Mohammed from Dubai was, a little virgin... Very devout Muslim person. He goes on Bourbon Street. He's getting $50 blowjobs.
Are you serious?
Doing cocaine with the bouncer in the barely legal club.
Shut up.
Boom.
Whoa.
He's the greatest. He's the funniest person I've ever met. Mohammed from Dubai. But anyway.
That's so weird. I mean, maybe that, again, there's like something with some people where it really is like that short of a fuse. Like maybe some of us like, we've got like a longer little burn before we're like, ah, yes, you know? And like other people, like maybe they were just born with a shorter little fuse. Like if you just light it, they're going to.
I also think that like it's more the availability in New Orleans for whatever you want is kind of, it's not that hard to find.
Yeah. Anything. Yeah. Yeah.
And so like if you're
especially
really,
fried chicken in particular.
Manchu, Willie
that's
Mays.
That's 2 blocks away from.
Coop's Place.
Any gas station.
Brothers Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, on the street. Popeye.
Cane's.
Yes.
Cane's are just chicken strips, but I had them recently. Fucking amazing.
Yo, dude, I ate Manchu's. Kyle Smith for Hot Mess and I shot a video and we bought 50 pieces of Manchu's chicken. I was just like grazing on chicken like chips like throughout the week. I would just like reach in the fridge and just get some chicken and eat it. I've been eating, like I realized in moving here, like in my life, I probably eat fried chicken like twice a year usually. I eat it like 4 times a week living here.
Yeah.
Like, so chicken is my crack, I guess. It's bad.
So fucking good.
But if I wanted to just be a pescatarian and be like, fuck the fried chicken,
yeah.
I'm going to be a pescatarian. Seafood here, like great seafood is abundant and cheap.
Yeah.
And it's so good. I'm okay with getting fat while I'm here. Oysters. I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah, it's a big food town, you know? It's just like there's mufaladas galore. There's po' boys, which is just like 70,000 calories.
I had a seafood omelet po' boy the other day. Think about all those words together.
Sounds pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I brought it home and I dipped it in some Emeril's vodka sauce. That shit, I've been eating. Oh, and I also put some also amazing cheese from Whole Foods in it that was left over by the realtors at the mansion. They just gave me all the wine and cheese.
Yeah.
So I'm living in a mansion with free wine and cheese.
Yeah.
No wonder bitches are throwing up in my bathroom. Like.
Yeah, I remember last year I was waiting at a bus stop, right? I was broke as shit. This was before my Prius and my Uber days, you know? And I'm sitting, and some tourists get out of a seafood restaurant and they go, we can't eat this. Do you want it? I must have looked like a fucking homeless person. But I was just sitting at a bus stop.
They offered you their...
And I took it and I had like a fucking $70 seafood buffet.
Hell yeah.
And it was the greatest day ever.
So you completely like were that meme, like, I'm not homeless. I'm a grad student.
Yeah.
Like... One of my friends posted one time, like, she thought that she was, like, hooking up with this grad student, but it turned out he was just homeless.
We're very close to the gutter pumps.
It's a fine line. It is a fine, fine line.
We're paying a lot of money to go there, plus we're, you know, working is hard because you have all this shit to do all the time.
I feel like right now, like, this is a fine line between a mansion and a crack house.
Yeah.
Shit.
Right on that edge. You could do it.
I'm on the edge of 7th Ward.
And I will spread Skittles everywhere.
Skittles. And then he was mad at me that I wasn't cleaning up his room every day. I was like, nah, bitch.
I have distributed beard hair very systematically in a fine line on my carpet, my sink, the dishes, my pillows.
They were in
Why is that not taken care of?
Oh my God. Well, and then, interestingly, he complained about cleaning, and in their trash can, they'd piled up shit that was perfectly good that I'm totally reusing. Like, I gave Yusef Roach, like, he's a comedian that I let crash here while he was in town for a thing, and there was just an unopened bag of Fritos, and he told me he was living on a backpack of granola bars, like, while I was here because he was so poor. And I was like, well, here's a free bag of Fritos found in the trash of this room. But they also left tons of those little, like, travel size Kleenex pocket thingies, but they weren't Kleenex, they were Tempo, like the ones that you put in your car. You're an Uber driver, you know Tempo, right? So they left all these piles of just completely.
It's like they have the napkins, but they're too lazy to use them.
Yeah, and then they threw them in the trash can. And I took them because I'm a mom. I was like, this is handy. Like, I'm
gonna.
Right.
And you buy a pack of those. It's like $12 for like 20 of them.
Yeah. So, and then another room. So I've been scoring to another room left beer and like a box of dried rice. And like, I'm just like collecting random shit from the room. I've gotten a couple of phone chargers. But then again, I've left some phone chargers out into the universe. And the phone chargers I've collected here, excuse me, are not ones that I can use. So whatever. Anyway, that's a huge digression. Actually, I'm doing so good in New Orleans after my boyfriend left me for crack.
You found fried chicken.
I found fried chicken.
Everyone has a vice.
Yeah. I won a comedy contest. Like, I'm headlining a show next week, so that's cool.
Legends Encore.
Yes, $12 steak night. What?
Boom. Matter week.
What else? I'm doing a show called Lost Love Letters, which is really cool. I'm doing a lot of cool stuff. And so, like, yeah, I think I'm the one coming out on top on this whole, breakup situation.
Well, I've said it many times. I think that you're like a really hard fucking worker.
Thank you.
You're, you know, you work, you're running the La Nuit, you got fucking a kid in Texas, you know what
Two
I mean?
Two kids.
And you are a funny ass comic, and thanks. You know, so I like, you know, I really respect people that are just like fucking hustling and don't whine. You know what I mean?
Whining is the worst. Like, honestly, and that's another thing about New Orleans, though. People sound like, people are whiny. Like, people are, like, gossipy and, like, have these, like, beefs. Like, there's so many, like, I mean, I feel like any street I turn down, it's, like, fucking, dang it, what's the scene from the song spinoff of Romeo and Juliet? West Side Story. Like, I feel like it's, like, every street is, like, West Side Story.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's about to go at it, but, like, drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, there were two guys on my stoop when I came home that just live in my name, and they were just screaming at each other. But you didn't respect when I said that I was gonna, and you're like arguing about nothing loud.
Oh God.
It's like, can you go in the woods or something? You're right? Like, I live right here.
But you can't go in the woods in New Orleans. You will definitely get stabbed or shot or raped or like
Given fried chicken.
Or given fried chicken.
Or seafood.
Yeah. But I mean, right before they
are you homeless people or grad students? I just have all the seafood. You're in the woods, Chef. Here you go.
You're like, I can hear you over my cracked crab legs. Like, you're certainly too loud. I wonder what's happening. I don't know if there are guests here right now. I hear guests. Mm. We're being so loud. But whatever. We're recording a podcast.
Is this past time of the checkout?
Yeah. Checkout is 11.
Right.
But some people are just still here. Right, like, right. You know, they're not leaving until tomorrow or whatever. Right. So this is just like their house. Like, what I've been noticing are, like, people nap when they're visiting you. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that sounds like suitcase.
Okay, should we eat? Oh, it's funny. My friend Danny V just moved to Boulder or Denver, somewhere in Colorado. And then he sent out Facebook that says, New Orleans comics. I came to Colorado and everyone was so nice that what I did was I took a beer bottle, I smashed it against the counter, and I said, what the fuck is going on around here? You Colorado comics being nice to me.
Denver is the best. They're so nice. They have a Christmas party. Do you know about this?
Yeah.
Every year, they have a Christmas party for anyone that has done stand-up at any point all year. Everyone is welcome. They get up. They get really mad if you try to do material or whatever. But they get up and they acknowledge, like, stories or thank you. Like, they reflect on the year. And it's, like, potluck. Like, everybody brings food.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of a comedy community like that? I was invited because I had been in town and I had done. And it was like, yeah. Come on, like, and so I got to see this, and yeah. I was like, it was profound for me to see that. Yeah.
Me too. I came from New York and Los Angeles. You know, I just, I got an email from Tom Rhodes because I was asking him about some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Tom Rhodes takes the time, like, you know, he did my podcast, we you know, smoked some weed or whatever. He's the coolest fucking guy in the world.
I smoked weed with him in Austin. He would never remember, because I'm sure he smokes weed with a lot of people on stoops of
he's
grand
so
hotels.
He's so fucking cool. But my point is, it's like, that guy, you know, is a super fucking gentleman. He does stand up all over the fucking world, and he is will blow your mind with how nice he is, you know? And then some people who get to, like, nothing levels of power, like, to use it to scream at people.
It's the whining and stuff, too. It's an entitlement. There's a culture of entitlement among...
Well, I had slaves, so therefore...
And I live in the slave quarters.
Can you clean my beer tap?
Right.
Why aren't you doing this more?
I am the slave, and it's fine. And no, and oh my God, I know, like, you know, hashtag Black Lives Matter. Like, I totally, like, I know that was insensitive for me to just call myself a slave in my very privileged position of living in a mansion right now where I'm getting paid, all the things. But I live in the slave quarters where, like... It's all, I get free wine and cheese and shit, you know, like,
but,
so.
I mean, you're doing the towels, you're doing the sheets, you're
I'm busting ass. Yeah. And I'm also, like, busting ass at a comedy club and doing a bunch of stuff. I really am working hard. And so, however, that's been, I guess I should address this, because I think if you do air this, you don't cut this part out. Or, I mean, whatever. I'm a mom. And that's even a part of my signature card. I was going to go on a mommy tour. Like, now I'm hosting the Mommy Mondays, which is a storytelling show, the last Monday of each month at La Nuit. it's become a very important part of my identity. And I am separate from my children being here. And I know that a lot of people are judging me for that, but then other people are kind of like cheering me on for it, right? And there was a blog, I think it was on HuffPost, but there was a woman wrote her side of the story of like leaving her kids for 4 months, which is my stint here as well, to go to Japan for a research opportunity, like toward her like tenure track, whatever. But it was like she left her kids for 4 months. And then in doing that, they ended up getting divorced, and then they ended up separating. And she does, I think she lets the dad have full custody and she has visitation, or maybe they do shared custody or whatever. And like she wrote about how like it's better for her in that way because she works so much, and you know, and she can't just be a full-time mom. Like it's just, and women, like the comments, you know how comments are on blogs, they just berated her for like, how could you da, 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 da.
So strange to me, because it's like what works for one person, if you can make anything work, you can do it. You right. can make it work. So it's like, I don't understand this culture of
motherhood is so hard and challenging. Like as I'm talking about it right now, like I have like this weird pain in my chest. Yeah. Like, and those were some of the hardest experiences for me in the beginning of being pregnant and having the babies and stuff, because then that's your first, I mean, obviously that's your induction into the motherhood culture, right? Until like, unless you're adopting, but once you either have that baby or you're about to have a baby, you know, like people start to say things to you or treat you differently or like lay expectations on you that it's like, whoa, like fuck off, step off. Right. And people in the beginning, like I'd have this baby and people would be like, isn't it the best thing ever? Like, don't you feel so complete with your existence now? And I really was like, no, there's so much that I want to do and accomplish and all this, like, this doesn't feel like the.
And I think it comes from an insecurity, because some people, they get a baby and they're like, this is everything I've ever wanted to do.
And raise for them, a baby. Maybe that's the case.
Yeah, okay, if you got your eyes set on being the best mom, fucking go for it and be the best mom. Some people want to also be the best comic while they're being the best mom.
Well, and interestingly, you know, for me,
research in Japan, what the fuck? Right. Judge other people's shit.
But if it were a man, if it were the father, and he were given a 4-month opportunity to go to Japan for his 10-year track, like it would be a no brainer. It would be like, of course. You know what I'm saying? And that's where it's like, we still have such a sexist culture.
Right.
And same difference. Like, if baby daddy in my situation, like if nobody would challenge that, like nobody would think twice about it, you know? And I've been alone for the most part, like he sees him just visitation, right? For 4.5 years, like I've been, and it's like, and he's supposed to take him for the summer. He's supposed to take him for the month, for a whole month every summer. He never has. So they were like, we really want to have this opportunity with our dad. And I think, and I went to a therapist about it. And I talked about it because I was, of course, having like a lot of societal guilt, personal guilt, just all the things in thinking about this transition, right? And a variety of things. But basically, like, it is the opportunity for them to spend more time with their dad and know what life is like on the other side of the tracks, if you will. Or like, maybe the grass isn't always greener. Or maybe it is. Maybe, you know. He could also see what day-to-day parenting involves. Mm-hmm. So maybe he won't be, you know, so difficult to work with in some regards. Like maybe he will actually respect when I'm like, I have strep throat and I'm on my first, I'm not going to have it anymore because I had a tonsillectomy, but he went out of town during my tonsillectomy when it was like the time he was supposed to watch the kids.
Your tonsillectomy.
Actually, that's a great, it's been a thing that I've talked about, is like, I don't have tonsils anymore. And it's like, I saw an improvement. I became a deeper individual, you know, after my surgery.
What an advertisement.
Also, yeah, anyway.
Single fellas.
So, ladies. But I can work, I can hustle because I don't have my kids at home right now. Like I am, again, there's so much work made for me in that I'm commuting back to Texas and I'm like driving. I mean, I've had to put a new set of tires on my car since August, 3 oil changes. Like, you know, I'm busting, like it's exhausting, like doing this commute and all this stuff. And but it's so wonderful to be with my kids and like all that stuff. But I'm taking this work time for what it is and I'm doing as much as I can like during that time. But like come December when I'm back home, with my children, like I will reflect on how great it is now after having taken to develop my skills, if you will.
Yeah. And that's what also I mean with people being rude at open mics or stuff. It's like with the comedy community in Denver. It's like when everyone has these lives where everyone is stressed to the max, everyone is doing busting their ass. You know what I mean? Then to also scream at somebody,
yeah,
you know, it's just like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Where it's like your power or your sense of yourself comes from belittling other people at an open mic, or just like, oh, I've reached this level of power, so now I can start screaming with immunity.
What I find is those people
makes me fucking crazy.
Those people that do things like that have very little else. Like, if you talk to them, it's not like they're also, you know, like volunteering at the animal shelter and, you know, doing this job and doing this thing and whatever. Like, they basically like maybe wait tables or maybe work part time so that they could focus on their comedy, right? And I get it. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to focus on your comedy, but it's like if that's all that you do and you really are not having other like real human interactions, it's gonna jade and taint your perspective and the kind of human being that you are. Sorry.
Yeah. But it's been weird for me too, you know, moving from Los Angeles and New York. And, you know, even the UCB, as competitive as the UCB New York was, there was also a sense of, like, motivation. Of you felt like you were on, like, an Olympic wrestling team where it's like they want you to do better. But if you start slacking off, they're going to be like, why are you slacking off?
Right.
Pick up the fucking pace. Why don't you run up these stairs?
Why are you backsliding? Yeah. I ain't seen you in 2 Sundays.
Yeah, so, 3 whacks with the switch.
Yeah.
Man, I've been thinking, I'm screenwriting a lot, and I wrote this scene where this Catholic priest is disciplining, like, some kid and some little girl with, like, a switch and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And my friend, Vidal Luazo, said that he was in a charter school here or something, and they would beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
And I just, now that I'm, like, older and stuff, like, looking back, like, why would you want to sit at a desk with a switch underneath it?
You don't want to do that. You do that forcibly. Your parents are paying, and everyone is forcing you in that. Like, you don't have a lot of choices.
You think that they're made to be.
Oh, you mean the teachers? Us. You're talking about.
The disciplinarian. Okay. You're like basically a dominatrix.
Well, yeah, I learned about this. There's a private school here. It's a boys' school, and it's a very, like, popular one. I can't think of what it is, but it's like even like grown ass men. Still, like, are like, yeah, this is the private boys school that I went to that was like a high school, right? I believe it to be a very African-American private boys school, from my understanding, from what I've been told. But when, like, the state or, like, the nation, like, basically ruled out corporal punishment as a, like, legal tactic in schools, they fought to retain it. And their alumni, everybody was like, no, you still need to be able to whoop ass in that school. And they have it. Like, they somehow, like, are doing it. Like, so it's like they're so proud of, like, their ass beatings.
But, like, then you're sitting at that desk, and then you have, like, a fucking Excel spreadsheet in front of you.
You're like, what does, like, my day look like?
This guy gets fucking 11 hits. This kid gets 4. What the fuck are you doing, man?
Yeah, like, what kind of tea do you drink?
And, like, that's probably not my tea.
Oh, man.
My tea's got green tea in it. It chills you out.
That's so funny. Or maybe it's, like, super zen. Like, they drink, like, lavender jasmine tea, and then it's, like,
time for the
like, having that little moment, and then it's, like, then the student walks in, and it's, like, and then they get into, you know, character again. Maybe it would be good to have multiple personality disorder to do that job. You just, like, bring up the one personality.
I will distribute beatings.
Right. What I'm saying is you need to be crazy. You need to be crazy.
Like, it's also this weird thing of, like, why are the alumni going, like, oh, yeah, that ass beating really set me straight? It's like,
But oh my God.
It's like taming humans like horses, you know, or like breaking in a wild horse or something.
You just gave me a brilliant business idea though. I want to set up shop like down in the French Quarter, like maybe Canal Street, right? Like where the massage places are, places like that. I'm going to call it the principal's office. And it's just me and a desk in like super like pencil skirt dressed up. And you come in and you pay me to spank you. I make so much money.
Mm-hmm.
I could do that legally, right?
If you fought for a license to have corporal punishment, you know, part of your discipline routine, you know what I mean?
But that it's not an education, and it's consenting adults.
Oh, it's not a degree track program.
Well, you're not a child. You're not a fucking child. Like, that's why that's unethical. I'm like, I don't think you're crazy if you spank people. Like, I wanted to clarify that. Like, you could totally be a dominatrix, or like, there's money to be made, and there are people that like to be spanked. Yours truly. Like,
ladies, fellas.
Yeah. I'm going to get a tattoo to cover up a tiny scar that's on my ass from a spanking.
Hot Mess Show is every
the last Thursday of every month. The next one's October 29th. Our theme is pumpkin everything. It's going to be great. Our last theme was vajazzling. It was really great. We decorated the stage with hair, and we put razors on the seats for, I guess, party favors. And the sex sensei, she also owns Hot Chocolate, which is an erotic bakery here in New Orleans. She came to the show to support, which was really cool. And she noticed a lot of the razors didn't get taken, and she was shoving them all in her pockets. She was like, this is valuable.
She's going to shave her pussy all fucking month because of that show.
Pussy shaving, especially with disposable razors. I mean, it probably takes like 6 of those razors.
Right.
For one muffalata.
Not if you pre-shave first. Can you get like a buzzer to pre-shave and then do the fine-tuning with the razor?
I haven't had an electric razor in forever. I probably should get one again. I had one in high school. But I mean, and it's like, I was a virgin, and I was super virginal. Like, my boobs got touched. Like, that's it. Like, I wasn't taking it in the ass and getting finger banged and stuff, but still a virgin. I wasn't one of those. Like, I was like super pure, if you will. But I was also a cheerleader. And so like my bloomers, like I was showing my cooter all over the place. So I had to like keep it shaved.
Why are we showing your cooters?
You know, like cheerleading skirts are like short, and then you're just wearing the little panty, the little bloomer, and you're doing high kicks,
right,
heel stretches. Like, you know that little dimple between the cooter and the thigh, like on the heel stretch? And you're like, I can almost see labia.
Right.
Well, definitely.
But you don't want your muff hanging out from
you don't want
side.
To be all, want it to look like Charlotte's Web or some shit. So, I definitely had to trim the cooter.
It is weird that, like, they make high school girls just, like, kick in front of, like an auditorium full of, like, old men watching their son, like...
Right. You know. Nobody made me do that. I totally did that voluntarily. I loved cheerleading. Mm-hmm. I taught cheerleading camps for 2 years after high school. Like, I traveled all over the state teaching camps
and now
stuff.
It's fellatio. So it's just, like, the next level of freak training.
Well, you know, again, you need to be enthusiastic. You need to use both hands. Positions are important. Don't break your wrist. Cheerleading and fellatio. I mean, there's
noise.
A lot of equal... Yeah, make noise. Have
Sounds
some spirit.
Positive.
You know, you need
Go
to...
Go tall.
Hopefully, you get something back from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
All attention on you. Big moment.
I wanted to keep going. I was just focusing on the word hard. I'm usually you're cheering for the movement of balls.
Pom poms.
Yes.
Go team.
And sometimes those end up in your face.
I'm learning so much.
Oh, yes, yes. So sometimes it makes your jaw hurt.
Yeah. But I think the real... hero is tonsillectomies, ladies and gentlemen. Get them.
Yes.
Improved performance.
But however, no. I mean, I don't agree with unnecessary surgery on any level, but I had had strep throat 4 times in 10 months, and each time it took me out of work for almost 7 days, like for a week. It was awful. Mm-hmm. And so, I had them removed. And if you have your tonsils removed after the age of 30... It's one of the worst surgeries because every time you get strep throat, more blood vessels come to that area, And so then when they cut them out, they have to cauterize even more. So it's like all this like burning of the flesh inside.
Right.
What I'm saying is like I really sacrificed to be a better performer.
So you had nerve endings cauterized in the back of your throat. So yeah. They wouldn't have
I am a professional, goddammit.
Listen, girls.
And boys.
If you want to make those guys at the back who are playing pocketball come, you got to shave your pussy so that when you stretch your leg over your head, your little labia is hanging out. Are you with me? Cauterize the back of your throat. We got to keep this patriarchy intact.
And remember, don't do crack. Oh, God.
Wow, we're having fun. Yeah. Good times.
Don't throw up in the back of your van either.
Right.
Or leave your purse on the driver's side, on the passenger seat.
So what if you're sex positive and you're like this type of person where it's like, hey, whatever you're into. What if someone said, like, I'm going to take a laxative. I'm going to be puking in a bag, you know, like eat my box from behind. You know, it's got to be that explicit.
People, I mean, but everything that you just said is communicative. Like, right. You're communicating. And yeah. So if people are discussing and consenting and they have said yes this but no to this, and then, you know, or like whatever, I think that works.
I think communication
And they're adults.
Communication is the key to everything. It's mm-hmm. the key to not having disputes. Because, you know, would you be screaming at someone's face if, like, you communicated with them, like civil adults or something like that? Communication.
Well, what if I want you to scream in my face?
Right. Or smack your ass.
Right.
Any scar that comes out, it's just going to be another tattoo.
So that's the thing. I feel like I should address this because the ex, like, is the one who noticed the scar and asked me about it. Get it?
Which ex? The one who's puking?
The crackhead.
Okay.
But it was like, how did you get this scar on your ass? And I was like, don't ask. You know, like, it's, I don't really want to talk about it. But then it came up again. So it was like, well, this guy's barbed wire bracelet caught my ass when he was spanking me. And so then it's been like this thing, like every time he's behind me, he's like, I've got to stare at this scar from another man. And I'm like, fucking me is staring at a scar of another man. You know, like I am the scar of multiple men, mostly my father. But
interesting.
It's sort of like whatever. But it got to a point where it was bothering him enough. And then it's like I started kind of noticing it in the mirror more where I was like, ew, my ass looks scarry. You know, and so that's when I was like, maybe I should get a tattoo, you know, over it. But I don't want to get like a butterfly, like right over the spot where it's like, and this is the spot where that scar was. Right. So
he's like, are you cheating on me with that girl? And you're like, I thought you never asked.
Make me a butterfly so I can fly far, far away from here. That's what I'm thinking. So no, I'm going to get a fig tree, so that it's kind of sprawling, and so you won't even kind of remember or see, okay, like, where the spot was, or, you know.
Because it could just be a piece of bark or something, or a root system, or...
So, whatever, yeah, exactly.
Just blend into the tree.
Yeah, yeah, so then it's like, whatever. So, yeah.
Jesus.
What I'm saying is I'm going to put a trunk on my trunk.
Oh, on the buttock or don't.
Yeah. And also it just looks like I'm going to add a lot more cracks.
Oh, one more.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to, yeah. I have a consultation on Tuesday with the artist.
Formerly known as Crackhead.
Oh, my God. But I'm like... But also, that's going to be weird for me, too, because I've never had sort of an intimate tattoo where, like, because it's my ass, right? So I can't wear panties, you know? And, like, to reveal that, like, I've got to be, like, kind of cooter, like kind of massage ready.
Oh, cooter ready.
Yeah.
With the panties?
Well, but I can't wear panties.
Did you keep any of those razors from the Hot Mess show?
Like, no, the Sex Sensei took all of the ones that were remaining.
Oh, okay. You were hoping to keep one of them for your tattoo appointment?
No, I don't. Well, they just have I don't use disposable razors. I use the ones with, like, the medicated, like, moisturizing strips. Like, the fancy ones that you click on. Like a Gillette, but not Gillette, you know. It's a grocery store brand. Because it's cheaper than Venus.
So, do you have like Rouse brand pussy snatch removal?
Probably. Yeah, speaking of pussy snatching, I'm totally going to win, dude.
Pussy Challenge 2015,
bringing it back.
Like, who the fuck cares about the presidential race? This is what matters. Kelly Stone versus Sarah Colbeck, like going after snatch, putting up numbers, you know what I mean? Putting up numbers like Cosby and shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But it's funny that you're trying to do this challenge, like right when I decided I think I'm going to write a book. Like, of me, like, experimenting for 30 days sex-free. But by sex-free, I mean sex with myself every day for 30 days. Like, I don't masturbate, like, regularly like that.
I don't think I've gone 30 days ever without.
Oh, wow, yeah. Like, I diddled myself the other day. Oh. Rubbed one out. Yeah. And that was, like, the first time since, like, June. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah. So, to brag about the crackhead, like, we had a lot of, like, really great sex. Like, it was great. So I don't know. I just didn't really need to rub it out here and there. And then I think I was like, so like fucked up from like the experience of like driving around, trying to find him when he was missing and like showing his picture to people where I had last seen him and like shit like that. Like, and then he left. So then I kind of felt pretty asexual. Like I was like,
yeah,
you know, so anyway, so that was kind of like I initiated myself. Yeah. I put some gasoline in the old lawnmower.
Hey, you.
Pulled that cord a couple of times.
Hey, you. I remember how to do this.
Yeah. And I have a detachable shower head in my bathroom.
Oh, your mansion.
In my mansion. I have a detachable shower head in my really nice shower. And so
I think that the people realize that if they had a detachable shower head in the slave quarters, that their food would be, you know, just made with a little more love.
Right? Yeah. They'd be like, man, I love this southern food. It's so greasy, you know?
Everything tastes a little like fish.
And salty. It's a bit salty. Oh, maybe that's her tears.
I've distributed Skittles everywhere. Come and clean.
Skittles and jizz and tears. Oh, and crack. It is all abundant.
My beard tears.
My beard tears. And you're, like, stroking your beard the whole time. It's so funny.
I know about that. I cut my fucking beard with scissors all the time, and I clean up all my fucking shavings. Why? Because I'm not a fucking animal.
Dude, you know? it was so horrifying. There was one room I went to clean up, and there was, like, coffee grounds smeared all over the floor. And then powder. Like, baby, powder people are the worst. Are you a powder person?
I don't know what.
Do you use powder?
No.
Like, yeah, I was married to a dude that used powder, and he would, like...
But what do you mean by that?
Like, either in your shoes or on your nuts or whatever, and you stand in the bathroom, and you put powder on, and it's just, like, powder
with
everywhere.
Baking soda?
Or, like, Gold Bond or baby powder or, you know, like, stuff like that. Yeah, oh, my God, powder is the worst. It is the worst. And, yeah, I go up in this one room and there's like coffee grinds smeared on the floor in one area and then powder smeared all over a chair and the floor. And I'm like, what the fuck? Oh. So anyway, I'm working hard. but wait, we went off on the track of sex. My book idea of like 30 days of not fucking anybody but myself and like...
I need a head start, you know what I mean?
Well, I was thinking October 15th to November 15th, and each day I would kind of blog, but with my typewriter, and I would write about my day or my experience and why, what I thought of when I masturbated or what I did, and then take a Polaroid picture of myself afterwards, but of just like... the scene or my life, like nothing with my cooter or whatever.
Just your face post.
Not my face. Maybe. I'm not really thinking my face. I was thinking like of like, and then it's like take it slow or like spending time with myself and like, so forcing me to write and then also, and then of course it's like sexual, but then like, what if I don't come or what if like, you know, or like different things. I feel like a 30 days of that and just compiling that, like the, what I typed on the typewriter with the Polaroid image, like each page, I think that would make a neat little 60 page book. But also with those, I could even give a precursor, like a foreword of, you know, here's what led up to me thinking this, da, 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 here's where we go. Like, what do you think about that?
I would totally be your book editor.
thing because it's like Polaroid is old, mm-hmm. right? And like typewriter. And so there's like some sort of like nostalgia kind of a thing there. And like, and it is kind of going back with myself, you know, and like taking time for me. And I think that that's therapeutic and healthy. And again, I want to promote health and wellness.
I think so too. I think like people who, and I see it all the time, like people who are in constant relationships where the second they get out of one, they go in another. The second they get out of one, they go in the other.
Yeah.
They're so codependent and they need to be yammering all the time.
Yeah.
They need to be yammering all the time. And only when people are single for a little bit that it's okay to be quiet and mm-hmm. to just do your work.
Yeah.
And not need the constant validation of someone else. I think right. it makes people like just more, they can stand on their own. You know what I mean? So
I realized I haven't lived alone since the year 2000. 2000, 2001 was, I think, the last year that I lived alone. Because then I got married. I got married in 2002. Mm-hmm. And that dude moved in probably like December of 2001. So, and it was to my apartment, like my one bedroom, my girl apartment that was mine. I'll show you, I don't know if you saw the painting in my room of the girl blowing bubbles, but that's the first painting I ever bought. And I bought it for myself, like in my apartment that I was decorating. And like I bought her at an antique store and she just spoke to me. And it was like she was alone, but she was blowing bubbles and she was content. And so I find a lot of strength in that painting. And so two of my trips, maybe three ago, going back to see the kids, I went back to my apartment and took that painting and brought it here so that I could have it. So, and that's, it's been really helpful in that. Like I wake up each day and I see her and it's like, okay. And so then I make my tea or my coffee and I go sit outside. And when I used to live in Martindale, Texas, I lived on the river and that was when I was single and I would wake up each morning, take my coffee and I would grab a pomegranate off the tree. We had a pomegranate tree and I would go sit down by the river and like eat my pomegranate and drink my coffee and like start my day each way that way. And that's what I've been trying to do is like take my own quiet time for myself and be kind of dedicated to that each day.
Hey there. You know, and then you get frisky. It's like, you know, if you already took care of yourself, you know, you worked out, you had a pomegranate, you know what I mean? Then it's like, ooh, who's that?
Yeah. Yeah. I know where my clit is, right?
Found it.
Yeah.
High five.
That's why I was late to meet my friend yesterday to go. We went and watched a couple of comedy shows last night. And she's like messaging me because we were going to go. I'm doing so many girly things, which is why we're going to go to this wine and cheese and tapas place. But I was running late because I was like beaten off in the shower. So it's good. And so that's why I was kind of like, I think in this like rediscovery, I'm like, maybe I should write about it. Because you don't really hear a lot of women talk about masturbation in particular, which is why I do a joke about it on stage because it is something. Dudes are constantly talking about jerking off and watching porn and like, you know, getting splooge on the keyboard or like whatever. Like you hear that shit all the time. And like when women talk about it, it's like, oh my God, you know? And it's like, go fuck yourselves. Yeah. Seriously, go fuck yourselves. Like that's, I'm trying to be positive about this, you know?
Yeah. You're promoting wellness. You're promoting happiness.
Yes. So, yeah. And so with my wellness is like, I totally want to conquer you in the pussy challenge.
Oh, so it's going from November 15th.
Well, I mean, I guess. That's what I was thinking. Well, we should discuss this. Because I don't really have to like actually get the pussy. I just need to get them to send me a picture of their pussy, right? That counts as like I've won.
Oh, but I think you gotta be in there, right?
In the pussy? Excuse me. In the pussy. I need to get in the pussy. I mean, it's easy. It's so easy. But then it's like,
look, we're talking.
I don't know
numbers.
That I want.
You're
to.
A mom. This is your time, you know, to really shine those pearls.
What? She wore a pearl necklace. But in a pussy challenge, I'm not really going to get to wear a pearl necklace. Like,
oh.
You know, more like a, what, like a moonstone
what
spread.
I'm saying, dicks don't count in the pussy challenge.
All of it is easy for me, Eric. Like, you don't understand. Like, it's so easy. Like, I know that I sound, like, cocky. Like, I'm a dude and I have a cock. But that's because I kind of am. Like, it's so easy. It's so easy.
You're trained in sorority sisters. You know what I mean?
Dude. It's so... Like... I was in a sorority.
Right.
Like, funny story, quick story. Me and my sorority sisters, when we were all seniors, our senior year, my goal was to get high with every girl, every senior in the sorority, because so many of them are, like, really Jesus-y and, like, proper. And,
right.
Like, they're just really proper. And then others are, like, total shitbag whores, you know? But for the most part, most of them are, like, really, like, boring, you know? And so my goal was to get high with all of them. And so we actually had a slumber party, like, at all seniors retreat, like, slumber party thing at one of the girls' houses. And I brought weed, and I was like, we're going to smoke. And I, like, was, like, feeling everybody out, like, individually, like, hey, what do you think about this or whatever. We ended up at the end of the night all sitting around in a circle smoking weed. And then we ran out of, like, zigzags or, like, rolling paper. And the girl whose house it was like, it's cool. We could just use the back pages of my Bible. And I was like, whoa. And she was like, it's fine. I just use the blank ones, you know? She rolls a fucking joint with the Bible paper, and we all smoke it. We're all passing it around. And it gets us to talking about the Bible and, like, vacation Bible school and all of our days. So we're passing around this Bible rolled joint, and we're singing, like, the children's, like, church hymnals and stuff. It was amazing. It's a very good memory. And so if I can make that happen, I'm totally going to win.
So that was, like, a ritual into your semi-lesbianism.
One time you desecrated
the Bible.
I almost had a foursome with a bunch of girls. Like, yeah, it was really cool.
Where are the photographs? That's my whole scam. I'm thinking if I lose terribly the pussy challenge, at least I got pictures. Somebody just showed up, speaking of. Okay.
So, that was the doorbell ringing, which I freaked out because I was like, oh shit, are there guests here? But it was my friend Abby, who is an improviser in town. She was bringing me back my bag that I left in her car last night. She offered me her pussy last night.
Wow.
Yeah, you said you'd have a threesome with me and the ginger. She totally was like,
That was just a confirmation. Wow. I'm really dead in the water.
Just last night. Like, she even made a sexy video. I sent it to this guy. He sent me, like, a sexy picture. Yeah. And then he was like, and then she even said, she was like, I'm all up for orgy opportunities. Like, wow. That all happened just last night, too.
Right. It's like you're already lining up, like, multiple beats.
And
it's like, when is this oyster shucking contest happen? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you want to forfeit now? Like, do you want to...
Well, I got until November 15th to start lining it up, so now I see the kind of competition I'm in. So.
Because that's what I wanted to discuss with you. Because it might be easier. If we include Halloween, I could probably get, like, six in one night.
I got a scarecrow plus
I got a Marilyn cop, Monroe. A firefighter, three Fanta girls.
A couple others.
Yeah. No, that's where I was like, too, if we look at actual dates in terms of, like, holidays or what's happening, Voodoo Fest, are you fucking kidding me? Dude.
Yeah. More like Hoodoo That Girl Fest.
Hoodoo Voodoo? I do. You do not.
There's two V's in Voodoo, bitch. All right.
That's when you need to talk about dates. Or how are we going to, like, what are the rules? And, like, who are the judges?
Okay,
or, well, like, where do we submit our...
I think, okay, well, submit our photographs.
Like, our tallies.
To my dorm room. Now, listen. this has been a pleasure. This has been episode 4.
Thanks.
140 with Kelly
Stone.
7
times 2 times 10.
Boom. I have a Sunday roast battle at the La Nuit, fucking October 18th, 2015.
Sweet.
Doors open at 7:30. The show is at 8. You know what? Actually, this is... No, that will happen. I'm sorry.
Wow. I'm showcasing on the show, doing a set on your show. Also, we have Hot Mess Comedy Show hosted by me and Kyle Smith with the theme Pumping Everything on October 29th at 8:30 p.m. We have Mommy Monday's storytelling show October 26th at 7:30 p.m. And we have the TMI talk show debuting with some drag queens hosting a talk show October, 15th, October 15th, this week, Thursday. Woo! No, it's not. It's the following Thursday because there's a Saints game, and we realize nobody does shit during Saints games. So it's October 22nd.
All the orgies are shut down. Pussy Challenge is closed.
Dat girl got me tickets to the Saints game. So I'm at least going to keep hanging out.
At least until then.
Yeah.
I mean, see a game, munch some box. Look, 10th.
In the box? Yeah.
Box seats.
That's Inception, man.
Just puke in the bag. Face that way. Oh. I'll be back here. October 13, 2015, Theater of the Deranged 2. It's a movie with Troma that I did that's coming out. You can buy it, the Blu-ray, on Amazon and shit. It's Theater of the Deranged 2.
Also, Netflix and Chill is premiering at the theater on October 19th, and Abby, who just stopped by, who offered me her box, is going to be one of the hosts of that. And Netflix and Chill is just, we're going to watch like TV episodes from Netflix with like beanbag chairs and chill the fuck out, but with comedians commentating on what we're watching. So it's going to be really fun.
What if people get pregnant? During the Netflix and chill, like that's what happens.
But usually not at the theater. And based on my sex education skills, hopefully they will go home and put lube on first and then the condom and then more lube because that feels better.
Okay. Well, this has been very informative. That's another episode of Highway Motherfucking Diary in the bag. Thanks to my guest, Kelly Stone.
Thanks, Eric Hollerback. That was fun.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.